presenting Hawk Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
X-4 calling control tower. The X-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Okay, this is Hawk Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode of the adventures of Hawk Harrigan.
Before we join Hop and Tank, I'd like to talk about the new Lockheed Jet Superfighter, the Shooting Star. You've all heard about the amazing speed records this plane has set in its tests, but you may not know how things went in its very first test flight. It was back in 1944, a cold morning in January. Everyone who had worked on the plane was standing around the secret army base on one of our western deserts. Test pilot Milo Burchin mounted a ladder into the cockpit, snapped down the bubble canopy, and settled into his seat. All of a sudden, the onlookers heard an explosive poof, and before they realized it, the plane had whizzed along the strip and had taken off in a cloud of dust. The Shooting Star kept on climbing and disappeared into the stratosphere so fast that in just about 2 minutes, when they saw a tiny speck dotting the horizon, it was the jet fighter sweeping back, coming at a terrific speed. The speck got bigger and bigger as it headed toward the crowd of spectators, and it swept over them as a blur. Now, all this time, no one had heard a thing. Then, after the ship zoomed by, a blast of sound beat down on everyone. It came from nowhere in particular, but it completely surrounded them. And as the plane disappeared, waves of the sound blasts continued. It was a magnificent demonstration. Some of the crowd jumped up and down, shouting with excitement. Others cried openly, without shame. Fellas and girls, in just a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you more about this amazing jet fighter, the Shooting Star. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Tank, a victim of the mysterious man who whistles, was a helpless prisoner in the swaying basket suspended beneath the runaway carnival balloon. Using a high-powered rifle, Gale shot at the balloon from Hop's beechcraft to make it settle slowly, but the fabric tore, and it plunged earthward at a dangerous rate of speed. Bill King, who had been following in a car, reported by radio a few minutes later that he had found the mechanic, badly injured. Tank was rushed to the hospital, where Hop joined him later, and an anxious, night-long vigil began. Then you recall John Temple, a special agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, suddenly arrived to help Hop crack the mystery of the vanishing men, and as they waited in the hospital corridor, the young pilot gave him the entire background of the case. Suddenly, the doleful strains of the funeral march echoed through the corridor. Hop and the FBI agent rushed into Tank's room, coming to an abrupt halt at the sight of an overturned screen and an empty bed.
Wait, Scott! Hop! Tank is gone! The man who whistled. He's come back.
They couldn't have gone far. Watch this door. It's a closet. It's empty.
John, the window's open.
That's how they got out.
Come on. The tank wasn't in any condition to be moved. The doctor said it might be fatal.
Obviously what our whistling friend is counting on. Now, let's see, Hop. Oh, it was easy. This room's right on the ground floor. Oh, go ahead, pile out.
Man, we better call the doctor.
Later. Go on, clear the way.
Come ahead.
See anything?
No, it's too dark.
Which way is the street?
And this way, hurry.
Watch yourself now. Don't run into a trap.
John, I don't see how he could have done it so quickly.
Who?
The man who whistles. But just outside the room, and we went in as soon as we heard him. How could he have carried Tank out the window?
He didn't.
What?
Keep going, Hunt.
What do you mean?
Tank left that room by himself. The bedclothes were thrown back from one corner, not pulled all the way down as they should have been if he was carried out.
Well, what about the screen?
I think you'll find he knocked it over himself. Easy now, easy. We're almost at the street.
John, that's a car starting.
It's pulling away. Hurry. No, no, it's gone. We can't catch him now.
John, look. On the sidewalk.
Wait, Caesar's goat. It's Tank.
Tank. Tank.
Wait, Hop, wait.
Tank. Tank, do you hear me?
Easy, Hop, easy. Let me have a look at him.
Hey, he's so still.
But he's alive, at least. You stay here, Hop. I'll tell the floor nurse what's happened, so she can get him back inside the hospital.
For Pete's sake, how long are they going to take, John? This is driving me crazy.
Take it easy, or they won't let us stay in the room at all.
I think I'd rather wait out in the car.
Say, Hub, did you notice the condition of the room when we came in before?
Yes.
You know what I meant about the bedclothes.
Mm-hmm. Tank got out of bed himself.
Yes, and he was in a hurry to get to the window, or he wouldn't have knocked over the screen.
Well, in the way you figure it, the man who whistled started to come in through the window, not realizing Tank could hear him. When he began his infernal whistling, Tank jumped for it.
Either that or
all
else
right,
he...
Nurse, that's
oh, wait,
all
you...
we can do for the present.
I think
stay that... here the rest of
yes.
the night and notify me if
doctor's finished.
Oh, good.
How is he, Doctor?
No appreciable change due to his little trip.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? I mean, he's okay.
That I'm not prepared to say, Mr. Harrigan. Frankly, I expected him to regain consciousness by this time, but he's still in a very deep coma. Mr. Harrigan.
Oh, yes, sir?
You said he was injured by being thrown clear of a balloon and striking his head against a tree. Are you quite sure of your facts?
Oh, I didn't see it happen, but that's what I was told.
Very strange. Very strange indeed. Well, there's no point in your waiting here any longer. I suggest you go home and get some rest. You look as though you need it.
Well, I'd like to stay, if I may, and see Tank when he comes to.
I'm sorry, but even if he does regain consciousness by morning, I cannot permit any visitors. He must have complete rest if he is to recover.
Oh.
We'd better follow orders, huh?
All right. But will you call us if there's any change, then?
Oh, of course.
Good night, Doctor. We'll hear from you later, then.
Yes. Good night.
Come on, Hop.
Taking the young pilot by the arm, John Temple half guides, half pushes him out of Tank's room and down the corridor, out into the street. 15 minutes later, they pull up in front of Aunt Agatha's house, where they're met at the door by Gail Nolan.
Please be quiet. Just managed to get Aunt Agatha to sleep, and if she wakes up again and sees you...
Oh, sorry, Gail.
Come in, but quietly. Run in the kitchen. I have some hot coffee.
Well, you're the kind of a girl I like, Miss Nolan.
Thank you. I wasn't in the Army for 5 years for nothing. First thing I learned, keep the coffee fresh and hot. Well, here we are, and I'll close the door so we won't have to whisper.
Is she all right?
Yes, but he's awfully upset about Tank. How is he?
Still unconscious.
He snapped out of it long enough to go after the man who whistles.
The man who... Well, he didn't come to the hospital.
Yes, he tried to get into Tank's room through the window. Tank gave chase. By the time we caught up, he'd made a getaway in a car. Tank was lying on the street, unconscious again.
Oh, Hop, why did Tank do it? When is this going to end?
I don't know, Gail. I honestly don't know.
Well, Hop, from what you told me, we have all the facts. We've just got to sit down, apply some brain power, and separate the false clues and the red herrings from the real evidence.
Evidence? There's certainly enough of it that doesn't get us anywhere.
That's because you've been kept off balance all the time. You haven't had a chance to really sit down and figure things out. So, fortified with a cup of your coffee, Miss Nolan, I suggest we back this thing out right now.
All right. Sit down, and I get the hint, Mr. Temple.
Hey, what was that?
What was what?
I didn't hear anything.
Wait.
Well?
I could have sworn I heard somebody out front. Yes. Someone's walking around out in the hall. Gail, didn't you lock the front door?
Well, I can't remember.
You didn't lock it.
No. I think he's... coming this way.
It isn't. It couldn't be.
The man who whistles? We'll soon find out.
Facing the door to the hall, Hop, Gale, and John Temple wait, breathlessly listening for the first measured notes of the funeral march, which will signal the presence of the man who whistles. We'll know in a moment if it's he, gang, so stand by. At the beginning of Hop Harrigan, you heard of the first exciting test of Lockheed's jet superfighter, the Shooting Star. That first test was held way back in January 1944. Now let's change the scene. It's now 1947, June 19th, and we're at the Muroc Army Airfield in California. Instead of the first model of the Shooting Star, the plane is the P-80R, the latest in the Shooting Star series. It was on this day that the jet fighter set a new world record for speed. The trim little plane passed over the test course four times, twice in each direction. Each run was photographed and timed by special cameras set at both ends of the course. The speeds recorded on the test averaged up to an amazing 624 miles an hour. Imagine that, speeding just 250 feet above the ground at better than 600 per hour. One mistake and the pilot would be finished. But Colonel Albert Boyd was an old hand at the superjets. He had been flying them for 3 years at that time. And in the 18 minutes that the test took, Colonel Boyd stuck right on the controls and got every ounce of speed out of the ship. Afterwards, when they asked the colonel how it felt to set a new world's record, he smiled and then he said, "Well, it keeps you so busy you don't have time to think. There are so many things to do and so many instruments to watch. But anyway, it's a great feeling." Say, listen, fellas and girls, I know you too would like to be in Colonel Boyd's boots. And someday you may be. Remember, he worked hard, and he spent 20 years getting ready for his world record flight. In the scientific air age that's coming up right now, speeds of 600 miles an hour will be like standing still. Get set to take your place in the sky along with these new jets. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Returning to Aunt Agatha's house across the road from the airport, Hop, Gale, and John Temple, the FBI agent, were seated in the kitchen talking when suddenly they heard someone moving around in the hall just outside. The sound drew closer and closer to the kitchen door, and as they waited tensely, they fully expected to hear the solemn, deadly notes of the funeral march.
Hop, it's just on the other side of the door. Think he'll come in?
If he does, we'll be ready for him. John.
Where are you, pal?
I'll wait back here.
Okay, I'll tackle him head on.
Why doesn't he do something?
Hey, Gale. The doorknob's turning. Stand by.
Hop, I'm afraid. Jack. What? Oh, no. Jackie, in here.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
Charlie.
Hello, man.
Who's he, Hop? You know him?
I'll say I know him.
Now close the door.
Charlie, what in the world are you doing here?
Just thought I'd come over and see you, ma'am. And if your friend hasn't got back, you know, the one who feeds the hippopotamus? Well, I thought I'd help him out.
Hop, what's he talking about? What hippopotamus?
Don't mind him, John. He's a little eccentric.
Now, look here, Jack. I never said mean things about you. And if you don't want me here, well, I'll just go away again.
Oh, no, you don't. It's time we got a couple of things straight.
Oh, you're going to trade me your hippo for the elephant?
No, I'm not going to trade you. Now, listen, what are you doing here at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Soft pedal, Jack. Soft pedal. People are asleep.
Charlie, for the last time, what do you want? Why did you come sneaking in here?
Well, the front door was open, so I didn't ring the bell. I didn't want to wake up everybody.
Oh? Then why did you come back here to the kitchen?
I saw the light. Fooled you, Jack, didn't I?
Charlie, so help me out.
Now, hold on there, Jack. I don't like your attitude.
You don't like my attitude?
If you don't talk nicer, I won't give it to you.
I don't want your elephants.
I'm not talking about elephants.
Charlie, tell me, what have you got to give us?
A message.
A message? Give it to me.
Well, I don't know.
Please, Charlie.
Okay, ma'am. I'll give it to you.
Miss Nolan, let me take it.
Oh, certainly. The same kind of paper the two other messages were on.
John, please read it.
Live your last day. It will be far from long. Before the sun sets, you'll all dance to my song.
So a third message, again in a strange, deadly rhyme, and this time a direct threat to them all. Who is the mysterious man who whistles? And will Hop ever be able to track him down? We'll know in our next exciting episode, gang, as the mystery of the vanishing men draws to an action-packed end. So don't miss it. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazines.